Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, for we know God is good, and all the time. We also know and proclaim every day in our lives that the Lord Jesus Christ has called His church with three commands, and those three commands sum up all of the Scriptures from the beginning to the end, and those commands are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. And that is what we continue to do every day. But if we're going to love God and love others, don't you think we need to know what that means? And the church says, and amen. Because this world does not want us to love God, does not want us to love others, and does not want us to go, not in the biblical sense. They want us to love as the world loves and to spread that lie to others. And that is the going. You see, the world uses the Trinitarian form of God as well, but it uses that Trinitarian form to emulate itself rather than the God of our universe. And that is where we're going to be teaching on today and probably next week. We're going to be looking at the fact that we are not to be afraid to speak truth. Why am I talking about this? Why am I bringing this? Well, one of the things I want us to understand is our world has literally ripped us away from the Scriptures. That has ripped us away from the truth of God and has put in its place a type of teaching or learning that has put us into the world system. Do you all agree with me on that? If you don't, allow me to convince you. Because as we look at the teaching that Jesus gives us, from the very beginning in the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, we will see that God has been against the world system since the beginning. Now, that's a pretty bold statement because, gee, shouldn't we trust our systems of government and teaching and the things that we have instilled in our land? Well, how many of you are seeing what's happening in our government right now with all the fraud and misappropriation of funds and the number of people who are ramming and clamoring all about all this different stuff that's going on? And, you know, hey, it's wrong to spend taxpayer money and on things that aren't right. But then you have these other politicians over here saying, don't you dare take our money. Excuse me, whose money is it? I have to start to think about our children. I've got to take it out of the government and I've got to take it down to the very children that each and every one of us has. And I look at where they're teaching our children in the schools and even in our own households through the television. Okay, what's it called? A television. They're telling you a vision that they want you to believe, that they want you to conceive in your mind. They're programming you. That's why it's called programming. They've been programming us for years. How many of us believe that the American dream is to go to work in a factory and then buy a house and have a mortgage for the rest of your life? Isn't that what we've been taught? That's called slavery. We've been taught a wrong way. But now we need to be taught what's right. And then we as the church, as we begin to understand what is right, then we need to speak it. Because we can't be afraid to speak truth into this world. We have a world that is so hungering for truth right now. How many of you are seeing it all around? Oh man, I know I am. This past week, I have had more opportunity than you can imagine. We're getting ready to go through we're purchasing a facility that we're going to be moving into. But this week, I spent as much time on that as I did in people's lives dealing with what I'm talking about right now. Christians coming to me and saying, Pastor, this is going on and that's going on, and I just can't understand it because, you know, the Lord's calling on me and He's opening up doors. And I'm like, yeah, there's a great spiritual awakening happening right now. We're told that's going to come in the Scriptures. But at the same time that giant spiritual awakening is happening, there's also going to be a great falling away because the love of many will grow cold. Why is that love growing cold? Because it comes against the very things that our system has taught them. And everybody wants what the system has taught them because that's about me. Me, myself, and I. You know that's called isolationism. that gets us to pull away from God and to pull away from others. How did God create this world? Didn't he say, what was the first warning he gave man? The first warning. It is not good for man to be alone. And yet, how many of us find ourselves alone? Oh, but I'm connected on Facebook. You're alone. You are alone. If you are not connecting with human beings, if you are not touching human beings, if you do not have human beings in your presence, you are alone. Well, that's a harsh thing to say. I don't agree with that. I don't care if you agree with it. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't like it, you can shut me off. You can walk out the door. You have that choice. But that doesn't change the truth. For the truth will set you free. And that's what we're going to talk about here today.
Touch me. We have a relationship. That's what it's about. Not Facebook.
It's us. It's us. Being real. That scared me. I had no idea what you were going to do. But God wants to get real in your life. He wants to get real in my life. And it's going to scare us. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. This is Old Testament, folks, but out of the Old Testament comes the new. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to understand some of this Old Testament stuff in order for us to conceive what the New Testament's trying to teach us. So from the book of Ezekiel in chapter 2, this is the prophet's call. That's the name that they've given it. But I look at it that we are all prophets because each of us is to speak the word of God into this world, into our families, into our children. Because if we don't teach them, what's going to be taught to them? And that's why it's important to be in front of people, other people. I can tell you all kinds of lies on Facebook and you never get to see what I really look like. But I can't lie to you face to face because you see me for who I am. When you live your life in front of people, they see you for who you are because we get a whole lot different picture. Let us read the word of the Lord. Then he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. Who's speaking here? This is God speaking. This is the Father speaking to Ezekiel. And he spoke to me. The Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Then he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people who have rebelled against me, and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. I am sending you to them who are stubborn and obstinate children, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words, though thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, neither fear the words nor the dismayed, nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious. Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you. We need to understand that Ezekiel here, now this is talking about Israel, so I'm not into replacement theology, you all know that. He's talking to Ezekiel about Israel, but he's laying principles for each and every one of us in our world, where we are today, because this is the timeless word of God. It is as alive today as it was the day it was spoken. And God has given us something to eat, that we are to speak. What is that something? Well, I'll get into that in a moment. But you and I are to hear these words of the Lord. Is not this world that we live in an obstinate world? Yes. Is it a stiff-necked world? Yes. Is it a rebellious world? For heaven's sakes, we're rebellious, and we call ourselves the church. How many of you are perfect? If you're not perfect, you're rebellious, because that means you're still sinning in your own life. For we sin not against man, but we sin against God. Everything we do that is outside of His word is against Him. And we have this sin nature, and we're fighting it all the time. It has been 6,000 years since man came on this earth. Has sin lessened or has sin increased? It has increased. And we need to understand that we're fighting an uphill battle, okay? Just the other week, I told you, you need to swim against the flow or you're going to get flushed. How many of you remember me saying that? Because that's the truth. You've got to go against these very things. Jesus did not come to bring peace in this world. How many of you know that? Isn't that what the scripture says? He says, I have not come to bring peace, but a dividing sword. He was getting ready to set up a revolution. Not a war, but a change. A bringing back of the things that were meant to be. An understanding of truth that each of us must walk into. But then that means we need to know the truth. Isn't that the impetus here? Isn't that what is implied? If we're going to go into this thing and speak to a rebellious people, well, doesn't that mean, you know, hey, if they're stubborn and stiff-necked and they're doing everything wrong, don't we need to know what's right? Well, guess what? Before you can speak a thing, guess what has to happen to you? You have to eat it first. Did we not just read that? You have to eat it first. That means it needs to become part of you, because how many of you realize we are what we eat? How many of us eat television at least 4 hours a day? I want you to think about that. Now, that means you're on your Facebook, because that's still a television, okay? It's a screen. How many of us are putting hours into this system that sucks us in, and before you know it, it's like a vacuum of time, and you've spent hours in this thing, and what did you get out of it? A headache from all the blue light coming from that thing, and it's gotten you nowhere. The lawn didn't get mowed, the garden didn't get planted, the kids didn't get played with. Oh, but that's quality time. Really? Come on, people. What have we been taught? What have we been shown? How many of us get outside and get our hands in the dirt and get busy with the Lord? You know, I think it's funny, because if you look back at the early people in the Bible, where were they? They were out doing that work that God gave Adam to do. They were on this planet to do a work. And that work became fruitful and it multiplied. And we now have how many billion people in this planet? But what do? We sit in our house, we sit down, we pick up our phone, and we... How many of you go to a restaurant and you see that happening today? You've got people sitting right across from you. And what are you doing? You're playing on a phone, talking to people 1,000 miles away. And yet there's a human being right in front of you that craves literal attention, that craves that interaction, because that's how we live and have our being. It's touching other people. But we've got to re-educate who is out there. We've got to bring back the reality that God has sent us into an obstinate people. How do I know that? For I are one. Because I wrestle against God. Am I the only one here who does that? Because I'll guarantee you, I had a sister tell me this morning that she got up and several times before she went out, she had to quote the scriptures to herself because it was not a good morning. Did any of you have one of those mornings? I want you to think about it. This is a struggle that we're going to go through every day. Why? Because of sin in us. But because we have the Lord, we're winning that battle. How many of you are winning the battle? Oh, man, there ought to be a bunch of hands in the air. Don't be so selfish. Yes.
I'm winning the battle.
You better believe it. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are winning the battle. Is it easy? No, I didn't ask that. But are you moving forward? Are you getting up every day and saying, okay, Lord, I don't know what today holds, but you're going to hold me in it? Because that's victory. Before you even start, before you get out of bed, before you put one foot on the floor. Because when you do that, you're starting to eat what the Lord has given you before you even begin. We need to understand that Christ has spoken to us in that very reality. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of John, chapter 6. The book of John, chapter 6. Oh, and that's, is that 1 John, Pete? Is that what I gave you, or is it John? Just John. I don't know why I put 1 John, because I have it written down 1 John here. I thought it was John, but again, I do stupid stuff. I have selective memory. John chapter 6. Yeah, you're going to laugh at that, sis. John chapter 6. Beginning in 43. And Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on that last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from the Father. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that the disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. We need to understand here, Jesus is talking about communion, isn't he? He's talking about communion, the bread and the cup. Well, Jesus is also talking about something else here. We need to understand, he said that this is a spiritual thing, right? And he says, I am the bread who has come down out of heaven. So when we partake of Jesus in the cup and in the bread, we are partaking of a reality, a spiritual reality, where we are bringing him into us. Is that all this is speaking of? No, it is not. Because what does the Bible say Jesus is? The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. We need to understand, Jesus here is talking about two very real things. There is a meal that we partake, and it is communion. But the other thing that we are to partake is this word. All of it. This is the body of our Lord. This is what we are to eat. He is the bread of life. And we are to partake this into us that we may know and understand the wiles and ways of God, His statutes, His precepts. That's why I can go to the book of Ezekiel and speak to you, even though this was speaking about Israel, because they were rebelling against God and He was getting ready to take them out of the land. We need to understand, too, that God is still active in our world today. Can I get an amen? And we are His chosen people to speak into this world. And He's giving us something to eat. That something that we are to eat is the very Word of God, that it becomes part of our lives. And therefore, it becomes part of who we are and what we do and what we speak and what we say and how we act. Can I get an amen? When you and I think about this world and what this world throws at us each and every day, all the stuff that comes at us is meant to take us away from depending upon our Lord and Savior. It is meant to make us dependent upon a system of government, a system of learning, a system of self that separates us from all things and defeats us. Because a people who are divided cannot stand against a tyrant. Who's the great tyrant? Satan. He is trying to divide our world to the point where none of us stand together. And Satan is truly active in our world. He is active in our government. He is active. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, he's active in your life every day. You may not see it that way, but may I open your eyes to a reality that goes beyond anything you want to believe. Because how many of you, when you're thinking about your day, are thinking about what you're going to do and how it's going to benefit you? We've been taught that from little on up. And now we have to reteach. We have to go to an obstinate people. We have to go to a rebellious people. They don't even know they're obstinate. They don't even know they're rebellious. How many of us knew we were obstinate, knew we were rebellious until we came to the Lord Jesus Christ and He began a work in our lives? I think it's amazing because Ezekiel here realizes he's one of them. He understands that he's one of them because he has things going wrong in his life as well. But God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God brings Himself, who is the bread of life, because unless you eat that bread of life, you have no life in you. So how can we offer anybody anything? All we have to offer is the death that is in us. Isn't that the opposite of what we just read? If we're going to have life in us, we have to partake of Jesus. If we're not partaking of Jesus, what do we have in us? Death. So what are we going to bring to the people? Are we going to bring life or are we going to bring death? Well, it's my hope that each and every one of us remembers who we are, remembers what we're going through, and we bring that life. So we bring ourselves back to the book of Ezekiel, to chapter 2. And we continue on from the ninth verse, understanding that as we partake, as we eat of this thing, something is going to change. Let's watch what it says. It says, "Then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. When he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and back, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel.' So I opened my mouth and he fed me this scroll. He said to me, 'Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am giving you.' Then I ate it and it was sweet as honey in my mouth." How many of us, when we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, at first had a hard time with this book? "Well, I don't know about that. And I'm not sure, you know, does he really mean?" And how many of us deal with that in our world where people say, "Well, now, you know, he didn't really say." Gee, I think that's what Satan said in the garden, didn't he? We need to understand there's no new lies. All the lies that ever will be have already been told. just as all the truth that ever will be has already been told. There's nothing new under the sun. But you and I have to eat this. It means it needs to become part of us. Because unless you know a thing, how can you speak to it or about it? And I'm not talking in it, am I? I'm talking about a him. I'm talking about a very personal, loving God. And that means being transformed. Because when we eat, when we fill our stomach, fill your body. Didn't Jesus just tell us from the book of John that I will be in you and you will be in me? Isn't that a filling of the body? I think there might be some correlation here. When you and I see that you know, hey, he's not just handing us this thing. He is literally hand-feeding. How many of us need to be hand-fed this stuff? Let me prove that point. How many of you have ever opened up your Bible? You know, we never do these things, right? We're Christians. We never do these things. We say, Lord, I just need you to talk to me. And you take your thumb and you stick it in there and you open it up. And you start reading. And all of a sudden, it's like, that wasn't in there before. Where'd that come from? Or you'll be reading in your daily reading, because a lot of us do this, where we have a daily reading and we continue reading. But how many of you have ever started reading the scriptures and all of a sudden you swear to the Lord that what you're reading is now in bold print and he's talking to me? Oh my goodness. Folks, he hand feeds us all the time. When you open this word and when you give your life to him, he is going to show you himself in wonderful, deep ways. Now, I'm going to tell you all right now, when we first come to the Lord Jesus Christ, our knowledge of him is so shallow, so superficial, and we think we know it all, don't we? Well, I got Jesus in my heart. I'm saved. I'm going to become a preacher. I'll guarantee you that's the last thing you want to become, is a preacher. Because it ain't fun getting run over and beat up and bitten by the sheep. Because them sheep is rebellious and obstinate. And they want to come against it, because if I can get the pastor to come against this, then it's okay. And how much do we see that happening in the world? Well, you know, okay, that was the Old Testament, and we don't have to listen to that anymore. Or, oh, well, no, he really wasn't talking about, you know, that's not the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, they were just inhospitable. I think they were a little bit too hospitable, if you get my meaning. We need to understand, you and I don't get to change what this word says. We eat it. We take it into us, and we allow it to teach us. We allow him to teach us. And as we do, it's going to get deeper and deeper and deeper, because we need to get deeper. God does not want a 1 inch deep, 1 mile wide Christian. Okay? God would rather have you be 1 inch wide and a mile deep, because now you're plumbing the deep things of God and you're growing in your faith. That's putting down roots, okay? What happens to a tree that puts down roots laterally? The wind comes against it and it'll topple over quickly. But what about a tree that puts down lateral roots and superficial roots? What happens to that tree when the wind blows against it and the storms of life come? That tree stands tall and it waves in that wind in defiance of what is coming against it. That's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be deep and wide. How many of us have sang that song? Deep and wide is the love of God. Deep and wide, deep and wide. Because that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to eat this. He wants us to put roots down. Not just out, down. Dig deep. Go beyond that superficial meaning and find out what it really means. That means you're going to have to challenge yourselves to find out what's really there and dig into it. But then you need to take that out and speak it to others. One of the greatest aspects of being a Christian is, brothers and sisters, if we don't have a joy to tell people, we don't have anything, do we? How many of us are afraid to speak about Jesus in the workplace? How many of us are afraid to speak about Jesus on the telephone? How many of us are, you know, I am getting the t-shirt. In fact, I'm ordering it this week. It says, Pastor, or warning, I may start talking about Jesus at any moment. Because that's the way my life should be lived. I see him in everything, so shouldn't I point him out? I see so many people who are walking in fallacies and they don't know it and they're harming themselves. They're locked in a slavery that they can't get out of because they don't know truth. They don't have anything in their life because they don't read the Bible. They don't go to church. And the horrible thing is there are some people that go to church and they're still locked into this stuff because the pastor in the pulpit isn't a man or woman enough to speak truth to the people he's been given to. Yeah, I'm a little fired up, but I love it because the word fires me up. I've got life in my veins. And man, I'm telling you, when you got life in your veins, it's got to grow. You got to let it out. What happens to a tree or a plant when you put it in a pot and you don't replace the pot often enough? It gets root bound and it rots. God does not want root bound Christians. God wants us growing and flourishing and receiving the abundance of life. And that means we've got to express what we know. We've got to teach our children. We've got to teach our friends. We've got to be the witness of Jesus Christ. Because if we shut up, we are literally being ashamed of God. But if we express that truth, we're going to change our world. And right now, the world is ripe. The harvest is ripe. There are so many people that want to know truth. And I'm going to tell you, they're wanting it. But how many of us wanted all the truth that we know now when we first became a Christian? No, we don't, because we're shallow. I'm going to tell you all right now, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, how shallow are we? Let me ask you this. I'm going to pick on the ladies first. Ladies, how many of you got up this morning and you had to go wash your hair and put on your makeup and get everything right and it took 45 minutes to get here? Now, I'm also going to tell you, I'm going to talk about my guys here for just a second. You know, we get up, we get our hair wet, we wash off, and we're out the door. But inside, we're just as insecure because we want, how do I stack up against everybody else? Good morning. How are you this morning? Tell me we ain't there. Come on. I love it when I see men get together. They go, boom, boom, boom. I'll hit you a little harder. Yeah, that's where we are. That's the reality of it. But when we're welcoming, when we walk in and we just give that hug and say, man, I love you, brother, I'll guarantee you the world hears that and they're like, ooh, did you hear that? Yeah, let me show you what that looks like. It ain't what you think it is. It's real. It means I'm concerned about you. It means I want to be involved in who you are. It means I have a truth that I want to walk with you in. It means I've got a life that's worth living, and I want you to live it too. I want you to experience the goodness of Jesus Christ in everything that is and everything that will be. Because when you and I take this thing in, it changes us from inside out. And all of a sudden, my whole being is filled with the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm transformed. I'm changed. I have a reason for speaking. I have a reason for being, and life's worth the living because I'm living it in abundance. I'm telling you right now, how many of you are looking forward to what's coming for our church? You better be ready for it because it's going to hit you in the face. Because you are part of it, whether you want to be or not. That means God's going to use this to change every one of us out here. And he's also going to use it to change you. Because this church is getting ready to blow up. Y'all think, oh, Pastor, how can you say that? Because I believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and he has not said, I am defeated. He said, I am victorious. He said, I will do greater things than he has done. He says, there is nothing that I cannot overcome. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But we've got to remember, we've got to show the fact that we have overcome. Am I hollering? Oh, man. You don't need hearing aids today, sis. That's awesome. Because I'm going to tell you, when we eat this thing, when it comes into us, we're going to go out here. Man, I'm telling you, I'm all fired up. But that's because I'm in the church. No, I'm in a facility with the church. We need to start having the right vocabulary. Can I get an amen? And we as the church are going to go out from this place. And are we going to stop being the church when we get out there? No! We are the church wherever we go, and we're trying to duplicate it. So when we go, how's it going to look? What's it going to be? Turn in your Bibles to the very next verse, verse 4. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. For you are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Nor do many people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, whose words you cannot understand, but I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Is there going to be trials and tests and all these kind of things that are going to come against you? Yes. Does that mean we stop? No. How long did it take for our world to get here, where we are, dismissing God, dismissing the things of the Lord? It took years and years and years. You know, I can remember when we started seeing homosexual people on television, and everybody was like, well, that'll go away. That television program won't make it. Well, the next thing you know, they're in every television program. Because they were programming us. They were making it normal. Normal isn't coming back. Jesus is. How many of us see what's going on in our world today? We're trying to get back to normal. Folks, it ain't going to happen. We need to understand there's going to be a time of trial, a time of testing. These things are going to come, and I'm telling you right now, if you don't think 2005 is going to be an amazing year, you got some problems. Because with all this stuff changing, do you think it's going to be easy on us as the body of Christ? Oh, God has said that, you know, we're going to prosper and he's going to make a way. Yeah. But guess what? You're going to have to climb over rocks and around trees and through briars. Didn't he just speak that to us? Didn't he say there were going to be thorns and thistles and we're going to sit on scorpions? That sounds like comfort, doesn't it? I want to sign right up for that. He's just telling us reality. How many of us like a real God? I'll guarantee you I do. He doesn't sugar candy coat anything. He tells me just the way it's going to be. Because it was the same way for his son. Do you think it's not going to be any different for this son or that son or daughter who's out here listening? For you who are out there on the internet? Oh, it's going to get tough. But that's all right. Because the tougher it gets, the more you're succeeding. And that's what we need to remember. Because the evil one is going to do everything he can to try and stop us. But we are not to stop. We are to take the resolve of Christ. What do you mean by that? Pete, I'm going to get through this today. What does that mean? Let's read the last portion that we have to read today. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them or dismayed before them, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all my words which I will speak to you and listen closely. Go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them and tell them, whether they listen or not, thus says the Lord. Brothers and sisters, he's going to give us a hard forehead. How many of us are hard-headed as it is? You know, I know you. You're Pennsylvania Dutch. There ain't nothing soft about your heads. When we get our mind set on something, it ain't changing, is it? But God has said to us, when we give Him ourselves, when we take it into our what? Our heart. Did you read that with me? Isn't that a New Testament thing? Because God lives in our heart. I think He did the same thing back here. I think it's amazing, though, because now I'm going to make you jump all the way back here for just a second, because it says, and the Spirit, for this is from verse 2, and the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. You realize Ezekiel didn't have the Holy Spirit with him every day of his life. But how many of us in Christ Jesus know the Holy Spirit's here? Why? Because where does He live? Right here. The temple is no longer up on a hill. In fact, God tore it down. And they're thinking about rebuilding it. How many of you are listening to what's going on overseas? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this stuff is coming. This stuff is coming, and we don't have a whole lot of time left. How much time do we have? Well, I wish I could give you the day or the hour, but God says I can't do that because I don't know it. I certainly don't know it. He ain't telling me. Has He told you? I didn't think so either. Because there are some things He didn't even tell Jesus. Because it's only for the Father to know. Because He has set all things in their time. But now is our time that we are to go before these people. And He's going to give us, I love it, He's going to give us a hard head. You know, how many of you think being a hard-headed person is a bad thing? Well, it is if you're wrong, if you're obstinate or rebellious. But if you're open to the Lord, wouldn't you rather like to see somebody who's not willing to change and be wishy-washy? I mean, how would you all think if I come in here next week and I started preaching against some of the things I've been preaching about for years? How many of you are going to keep me around? I got crickets. And that's the way it should be. Because the truth is the truth is the truth, and that's the end of the story. We don't compromise. We set our minds as flint. And we go forth into this world. Just as this world has set its mind against the Lord, we need to remember, how do you break a piece of flint? You strike it with something harder. Where's your faith? How strong is your faith? We need to understand our faith needs to be so rock solid that when we come against that falsity, it shatters and it's shown for what it is. And that's where we live and have our being. I want you to understand, God is setting you up, but you have got to submit to Him in all of this. Because God is not going to send you out there as flint if you don't believe or have not received the truth of God in your life. I see so many young Christians and so many young people run away from the Lord because the things of the world come against them because they're so shallow. And I'm not speaking ill. I'm not speaking bad. It's a truth. Because they don't know the depth of God. They don't know the long-suffering of God. They're young in the Lord. And you can be 50 years old. You can be 90 years old and have a very superficial faith and be washed away. Because the things of this world overwhelm you. But that's where we as the church need to come around, because does not the Scripture say that we who are more mature in the Lord are to bear up those who are weaker? That means we're to shore them up, that we're to come alongside, we're to walk with them and encourage them in this teaching and walking with them in the Word of the Lord and raising them. That's called what? Discipleship. Brothers and sisters, right now, our world is ripe for the picking. There are so many people that want spiritual truth. Now, do you hear what I just said? They want spiritual truth. Well, we need to tell them there's only one truth, and His name is Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen from the church? So we got to get out of that New Age theology, and we've got to get into the right aspect of life, that there is only one truth, and His name is Jesus Christ. And when we do that, that is the first setting of our minds in flint, that we have come to that place where there is no other, And that's what we're going to proclaim. And if you're going to walk around and say, well, you know, I don't know, you know, they're a good person. There's no one good, no, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, and we're all headed to hell. The only thing that saves us, the only one that saves us, is to take Jesus Christ into our lives. And we need to eat him. We need to ingest him. We need to bring him in. But then once we've brought him in, we've got to take him out, because we need to grow. The body of Christ needs to grow. We have got to open up our arms wide. Isn't that what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary? When God should have been obstinate and turned his face on us and folded his arms. How many of you know this? You know, when you see somebody do this in a conversation, what's that telling you? They just closed off, didn't they? Did God do that on the cross of Calvary? No, he did not. In fact, and we need to watch this, he opened wide his arms. Yeah, but they nailed his hands to the cross so he couldn't fold them. Wrong chicken. He spread wide his hands. They nailed him to the cross so his blood would flow, because it was only in the shedding of blood. Folks, we need to remember, we all think the Romans put him on that cross. The Romans sentenced him to the cross. Does not the scripture say he went willingly? And when he was on that cross, he said, Father, forsake them. Kill them all. Strike them down. No, he didn't. He said, Father, forgive them. And then he said the most wonderful words of all history. It is finished. The work of our salvation is done. But we have to come back to that work and tell the world, because the world needs to know truth. Can I get an amen? Pray with me. Father God, our world has been taught lies upon lies. We have been programmed. And now, Lord, it's time to deprogram. It's time to bring ourselves back to the one who is life itself. And that is you. So, Lord, I pray that each of us here would understand the words that you spoke to Ezekiel and that you spoke through John. That we would understand that you are life itself. And as we eat of you and bring you out into this world, it's going to be hard. But if we don't train up our children, if we don't train up our friends, we're harming life itself, for damnation is their lot. May we remember that you taught us from the Old Testament. Teach these things. Remember them and speak them to your children. Father, may we come back. May we come back to you. And may we once again walk in truth, in light, and in life. And this we ask thee in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And the church says, Amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.